Ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and anything else our host wants to talk about. Neil Smith is the Vice President of Social Media and Innovation at Denham & Company, lives in Texas, loves the Spurs, and exploring the world with his family. Jay Cranda is the online pastor at Saddleback Church, lives in California, loves the Lakers and drinking black cold brew coffee, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMC Podcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Courageous Podcast. We take steps, leaps of faith, as Apple has. I am Jay Cranda, and I'm with my co-host, Neil Smith. Neil, did you watch the Apple event?
I did watch some of the Apple event.
Did you? I'm making a mockery of one of the statements, as one of the speakers said, was that it takes courage to take this step. And they're talking about Apple removing the headphone jack. Yep. And internet had a fun, just a field day with them acting like that takes courage.
Yep.
Which is great. They know
that they irritated a lot of people, and they made a change that isn't going to get a lot of people excited and is probably going to annoy even more people. And so, I mean, they took away the headphone jack. You and I are both wearing headphones. I don't even use the phone without my headphones hardly anymore. But here's the deal. Like, their big announcement is we now have these wireless earphones, which are like our wired headphones, but you have to pay $150 for them. And I think here's, like, to me, the big shocker part of it is we've had Bluetooth headphones. You know, like, I think I had that in my Blackjack phone. You know, 10 years ago, it's not like this is new. Now, this isn't Bluetooth. It's supposed to be better. Has a lot of different functionality with it, I guess. But it's kind of like Bluetooth. You know, Bluetooth doesn't work that bad. It's just kind of weird, you know?
Yeah.
It lacked wow factor. Now, maybe it's going to be way better than I anticipate. I'll probably pay for the new phone. I'll probably pay $150 for the new headphones. But it definitely continued to lack any kind of new wow factor that Apple has had for a while. You know, I would say Apple Watch was maybe the most recent. I was excited about Apple TV, but that lacked wow factor for most people. You know, they didn't know the difference other than it went from $50 to $150. Yeah. So that was at WWDC, so it's a little different environment as well. So I was overall pretty disappointed in the announcement. I was just looking for something interesting. I was looking for maybe they had their own VR solution because Samsung's has been so popular.
Yeah.
And even when they announced Nintendo, you know, a partnership with Super Mario Brothers, and I thought, oh, that's a cool opportunity. They're going to partner with Nintendo in this VR space.
Yeah.
That's creative. Oh, no, it's just Super Mario Brothers that we had 20 years ago. And it worked with one hand. That's the wow factor. So there was just not.
Hey, my household, when my son came home from school, I told him about that. And he literally jumped. He was like, yeah. He literally jumped up and down.
About Mario.
Because he watches. We don't have any Nintendo systems. We had a Game Boy where I bought off eBay, like an old school Game Boy, but they lost it. Like, I don't even know where this thing went. And so, like, they watch YouTube videos of Mario. So they are so pumped they're going to be able to play it. So I also really enjoyed the fact that they, like, strategically, I actually felt when they were announcing the whole, like, cutting the cord thing, I only watched moments of it, but I did watch the moment where they, at the end, where they announced the price of the headphones, and it felt like it was like a slide. Like, they just slid in the slide.
Yep.
You know, Apple does that sometimes where it's like, oh, yeah, this is going to be it. And then they go, oh, yeah, and they're going to be $159. And then they hand off the remote to somebody else. And I'm always like, you guys, I don't care who does it. I don't care if you're Apple, if you're a teacher dropping something on a random last-minute test, or you're a doctor saying you're just about cancer and you think you just smooth it over. Like, we're going to – that image of the $159, whatever it is for the AirPods, It's going to stay in our brain, but they try to speed past it.
Well, they made it look like, and I felt like, oh, that's kind of cool. You get free wireless headphones with the new iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was assuming as they were presenting it. And then it's like, oh no, you got to pay an extra $150 for these headphones, but we'll give you a free dongle. I mean, they really did say that. Like, we'll give it to you for free. The dongle that will let you plug in your wired headphones that you get for free with your iPhone, but you can't charge it simultaneously.
Can we universally make a vote to change the name dongle?
Like, yes. Vote. I'm in on that vote. But it does make for some great YouTube videos. I'll let our viewers YouTube that.
Yeah, I definitely think that there's no doubt. I like the idea. Like, I'm all for pushing forward on, like, no headphone jack and figuring out. I just think the whole battery thing is the thing for me. It just comes down to, like, the five. I have, just like you, like, I have a couple Bluetooth stuff, but the battery thing,
it
just, like, I have a couple that are just terrible. And it's interesting how they leverage the Beats stuff, because Beats came out with, like, you know, three different options that are definitely way more premium.
Yeah.
I just, you know, obviously the interface, the connecting, it's going to be more seamless. You're not going to have to deal with that. And I know with my Bluetooth stuff, the way it works between my Mac and my iPhone, it's sometimes like I'm still connected here. So I know that's probably going to be a more seamless experience. But I just personally, until they get it where, like, my Bluetooth lasts for like 7 days without a charge, I'm just not going to be happy, because that doesn't even last a flight, like that full charge. Like, what am I? So even like a flight, what am I going to do? I have to bring two pairs of headphones.
Yeah.
And I know for anybody.
I use the case. So if anybody's watching on our Apple TV app or our Amazon Fire TV app, I've got like the case extension, but it makes it twice as heavy. And I honestly, I have a little like portable pack I also bring with me. And there are days that I go through the phone, the case, which is a whole second charge, and my portable charger when I'm on the road. And so I'm with you. I mean, and they say they're going to increase the battery life. So you can see it got a little lighter, got a little thinner.
But it makes it more powerful. So it's like the same. So, like, well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing. It's like they're gearing towards making, we got to be the thinnest. We got to do this. There's a point where I'm like, I would rather, can you just add another like 3 millimeters so that my battery lasts? Like, I don't.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know. Anyway, so Apple event, I will say the one thing that, I mean, I'm not getting a new phone this year, so I'm on like a 2-year plan. So, but I will say, did you see the summary event cut that they did they put up?
Yep.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
They put a cut, like it was like 100, the whole event in 110 seconds or something. Yep. And I think they put it just up on.
I saw it on Facebook.
So,
and I feel like it was from them. I thought it was great use of video, because I watched that and I'd watched most of the event, and I felt like, you know what, I could have just watched that and gotten everything I needed to know. So that was a good way of just catching people up on the event instead of you having to go and research and watch and clips and all that.
So regardless, you're gonna buy. So you're gonna whine.
It's what I do. It's what I do. They've got me. I mean, it is an improvement. I'll accept it. I will download. I've actually even signed up to get alerts for the Mario game. So I complain about it, the lack of wow factor, but I'm still going to download it. I'll play it.
Dude, I'm not complaining about Mario. Mario, I'm 100%. I'm in.
I'm just not thrilled about any of the new. I mean, I don't want to play with my phone in water. It's not that exciting to me. But
I don't want to play with my phone.
And so it was the whole thing. They took the headphone jack out so it would be waterproof, you know, or water resistant.
You don't take like long baths, Nils?
I do actually take long baths, Jay. Now that you say that, we moved into a house with like a little jacuzzi tub. So in Texas, we got these luxuries here in Texas that I didn't have in New York. I couldn't do it
in New York. Space? Is that what that's called?
Space. We have two sinks in our master bathroom, which just have a master bathroom. We had one single bathroom with a little pedestal sink in New York. And so I do actually take baths now in this jacuzzi tub. And now with my water resistant phone, I could just like,
you can
watch movies all day.
You can play Mario with bubbles on it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
If my MacBook would then become waterproof too, then we'll really be talking.
Just hover, like a MacBook Air could just hover on top of the water.
Ooh, I could put a board across. I've got it. I got it.
Okay. So
now to talk about what we really want to talk about.
We just ranted on. Okay. So yeah, we're talking about, we're talking a little bit about responding to people on social media time, kind of the best way to kind of set it up. And then also, I think some pros and cons on like things to avoid. Now, the reason why we're talking about this, Nils, is because there's a story that got released this week, that Amtrak, responded to somebody, very late. And so so there's this woman, and we'll put the link, in the show notes, but this woman, Amanda Carpenter, she tweeted out, guys, I'm trapped in an Amtrak elevator at the BWI airport and then help. And Amtrak responded and said, we are sorry to hear that. Are you still in the elevator? Now, that would have been great.
Yep.
Problem was it they tweeted a response back 7 months later. So what happened was,
interesting to see how they responded back after Amtrak responded.
Yeah. No, well, like they responded back. That's what happened was she did respond back, and it became a moment.
So people could see the interaction. Yeah.
So like that's what happened was, and then because I think she's like a reporter or something.
Okay, so she was the wrong person to have.
Oh yeah, she has a verified account. I don't know who she is, but she. Okay. I found out about it because it was, I think Twitter for me, I use Twitter now, I think like a lot of people, but the moments is kind of like a big thing now. When you could see what people are tweeting about, but a bunch of people tweeted out. It's just so with that, Nils, there's so much on, you got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got Instagram, Snapchat, Instagram stories, which is somehow different from Instagram. I don't know. You got YouTube, maybe you're still using your website comment system. I don't know. Obviously Amtrak just lost, something got lost, and somebody who is on the social media team just didn't look at the time and responded. How do you avoid doing something like that?
So there's a lot of ways, I think. I mean, one is just paying attention. But I would say to really get tangible with this, I think the response and the monitoring is the primary reason you need a social media management tool. I think that use of a social media management tool is more important than the scheduling functionality. So most people get Hootsuite, or one of those platforms, like Buffer, in order to schedule out their post. But I believe the most important is the monitoring functionality. And so I use Social Report. I'm big on Social Report.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of them out there. So if you just Google social media management tools, Hootsuite is a great one. Sprout, I think it's Sprout Social.
Yeah,
it's probably my favorite one. It's just a little pricier. I chose Social Report. And so using those tools to monitor all of your social networks in one place, so you can see every comment. You can also see, you can track hashtags. You can track even just words somebody used, if they mentioned you or something you're interested in. So you can monitor right there in the social media management tool, and you can respond right there as well. And so I think finding a tool for you to monitor that is going to save you so much time than if you're like, okay, now I've got to go to Facebook, now I've got to go to Twitter, now I've got to go to Instagram, and I got to monitor all of these at each of these platforms all the time. It's impossible, to be honest.
Yeah.
Unless you have a huge team, and I don't know any church that has that big of a team monitoring social media. Now, and I say that to say, I think you should empower volunteers. I think it's valuable to have maybe even a Twitter champion, a Instagram champion, Snapchat champion, somebody who's kind of really personally monitoring it, but having a primary filter. Then I think you have to establish your systems and to really say what does this look like? What is the process? How do we want to respond to certain situations? I think one of the most, one of the things I loved is we had North Point Church on this platform. And they talked about they have like a 5-minute rule. They try to respond to every social media message within 5 minutes. Like, that blew me away.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I don't think that's realistic. You know, what we generally say, and so we actually do this for a lot of our clients here at Dunham & Company, is we will respond to every comment within 24 hours. We will do our best to respond within 1 hour to every comment, but we know that it's not realistic. And so we have people in teams that literally are monitoring every hour, and we do our best to respond within every hour. Even if that's, I don't know, let me get back to you. It's at least an acknowledgement.
We've
heard you, we're aware. And some of that is deleting comments, you know, and so not letting really negative, hateful, or hurtful comments to live on our social channels. So, yeah, that was a spew.
Dude, wait, why am I here? I don't understand. Like, that was...
That's a good question, Jay. Why are you here? You and I were on a call late last night together.
Yes.
And now we're both a little end of the day Fridays when we're recording now. So we apologize to our listeners, and you didn't sleep already last night. But so tell me that's our systems. I spewed our systems. Yeah. Here. What do you recommend? What do you suggest?
Well,
process this.
I think at the end of the day, obviously volunteer, you know, empowerment is the huge thing. I think you're not going to be able to care for everyone, and there's no way, you know, North Point does it without their volunteer team that they've built up. And I think a lot of churches early on and are still having a hard time handing that off to people. And I think it takes a lot of work up front, training on culture and how to respond, but I think that's the only way things scale. The only way that I'm able to have as many groups as I have is not because of anything really special about me. It's because I have some amazing people that I've invested a lot of time into to scale it. So I think you need to be thinking about handing things off to people. But I really think the two things is planning ahead with your content and then engaging daily. So instead of thinking about daily about content, so like, what should I post today? The question should be daily, like, okay, have I engaged today? And then plan for 5 to 15 minutes a day to engage on your social account. So your daily check-in is, you log into Facebook. Has anybody responded? Do I need to do private messages, like Instagram? Boom. Do I need to do anything? Twitter? Yep. Boom. YouTube? Boom. Whatever it is. But I think a lot of people, and we talk about this over and over again, I just think they get sucked up in the whirlwind of life, both personal life and work life.
Yep.
Your boss, your church is always going to have something else. And if you think you're the only one that's busy, you're just dumb. Just everybody's busy. And some people are better at managing their workload. And I think it comes down to, you should schedule your content a week or 2 to 3 weeks ahead as much as you can. Obviously every culture is a little different, but plan out your 7-day, you know, posting schedule. And then you set aside a couple minutes a day. It really, at the end of the day, it doesn't take that much to engage. It really, like, you just have to do it. It's like, it's the old saying of, you know, you don't eat an elephant, you know, in a day, you know, it's small bites.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with engagement. And if you build it into the routine, you know, like, I know a lot of people say to me, and I say the same thing to you, Neil, it's like, how do you guys keep up with all these things?
Yep.
Well, it's because we just kind of hustle a lot. It's
not complicated.
We may not do a lot in one sitting, but it's because we've invested a lot over a season, and it's like just allowed us. And at the end of the day, the reason why we know, you know, maybe more about certain elements of social media, the biggest thing we know is that we always have to be reading up on what's new.
Yep.
And we have an advantage because we've kept up with that. And a couple articles a day over, you know, it kind of gives you that advantage. And so I think you got to plan. This could have been avoided if probably some better training protocols. They probably didn't have some good training protocols, and then some better technology to respond. And then they should have had the schedule, the engagement, a couple minutes a day kind of idea. And I know this will not happen again. Amtrak will not avoid it, because if they would have not have replied, it wouldn't have been a story. Now they got all this PR, this negative PR out of it. So I think it comes down to planning ahead. Yeah. So I think
I'm hearing a couple of things from what you're saying. I mean, the first thing is plan ahead, in especially in your content preparation. What we did at CBC is we did all of our content. It took us about 1 hour on Monday. We took our sermon notes and we took our announcements, and we basically just scheduled it all out. It took less than 1 hour on Monday. And so with that, when you schedule that, then you have a lot of other time to focus on other things, and engagement and responsiveness is one of those. Now, you can't schedule that for 1 hour a week. That has to be sporadic throughout the week, but you can do it in 10 minutes. If you schedule 10 minutes a day, somebody can do it. And so here's the other thing is, don't be scared to hand this off. If you're the pastor, even if you're the social media manager, empower others. I mean, this is a ministry opportunity for them to do ministry and to be responsive on your behalf. I spoke at a conference in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and one of the people asked me, like, what's the ideal age for a social media volunteer? You know, are they 15 years old, 12 years old, 13 years old? And I said 55 years old. You know, like, I really feel like the older the better, because you need a mature person responding. Now, if I was a smaller church and I didn't have anybody on staff to support social media, I would partner a 15-year-old and a 55-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best, that's the dream team for social media, because you've got the maturity and the responsibility and spiritually and just life maturity. And then you've got like a 15-year-old knows how to get 100,000 views on a YouTube channel without even thinking about it. You know, and so just there's some things that are just so naturally intuitive to a teenager, but I think there's also just some maturity that you have to have, especially when it comes to the responsiveness on social media. And so hand that off. Don't control it, and develop your systems. The more you do it and the more you hand it off, the more you'll develop the best practices and systems. Even if your system is just liking every comment that people make, it says, "I heard what you said." When you like those comments, "I heard what you said." And that means a lot. Or even if you just reply, "Thank you," and it comes from the organization, that goes so far. One other thing that I want to mention on this is I have learned the negative aspect of automations. You know, I experimented with it for a good 6 months on Twitter, of just liking or hearting whatever it is on Twitter, every comment somebody mentioned me. And then people started noticing that, or I did an auto reply, "Thank you for the retweet," everybody time somebody retweeted me. And it just, people started noticing, and it was embarrassing, to be honest. You know, they knew it wasn't actually me. And so doing those things, you know, so some of the automations can be beneficial, and I still use some as far as just following and people would unfollow, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But those auto responses, especially auto direct messages on Twitter, are the worst. I don't think there's any value or benefit there. Maybe there is. I get so annoyed by them.
Yeah.
That's my encouragement, is develop those systems, use a social media management tool. Social Report, I believe, is a great one. I think it's $10 a month. And you'll get so much more value out of it than just the monitoring, but it will save you so much time and it'll make you that much more effective. So make sure your responsiveness, and I would say I like the system of responding ideally within 1 hour, a minimum within 24 hours, or whatever comments are made on your page or Twitter account or Instagram, or whatever the social networks are that you're using.
Yeah. And it doesn't take that much. It really doesn't. You just have to be aware. And I think you don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but you just have to get ahead of it. If you can stay ahead of it and you have a team that's helping you, it's so key. And then technology can make a lot of that stuff a lot seamless, as you were saying. So
more time on the social and less time on the media. We spend a lot of time on the media, and we forget the social side of this. And I think it's a 75% social, 25% media.
Well, I think by next week, you and I, Niels, will be more rested, and we will like each other more, maybe.
Jay, it's hard for me to like you more. I'm a big fan of yours, Jay. this is a moment we're having. Jay's crying for those of you that can't see us on the Apple TV. But Jay and I, as hard of a time as we give each other, we love each other, and we've got to have a lot of fun together.
I'm too emotional. You just can't. You can't. just I can't handle this right now. Okay. So for everything else about a show, go to socialmedia.church to learn more about us. Also, we would love to hear different show recommendations about things you want us to talk about in the coming weeks and months. There's going to be more coming up. We're working on a lot of cool stuff, and we would love to share more about that. Also, go to tvapp.church. We just launched our Amazon Fire support, and we got some exciting news maybe on Roku here in the coming weeks. So anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the host, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the host. Thanks again for listening.